Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage from the Gospel of John. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples and kind of foreshadowing something he was going to do for them. But he brings out something very profound in his relationship with his disciples. As he tells them, he says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you." And, you know, again, a few things that we think of that really stand out, you know, it's just, he said, greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And I think one of the things is we think about the cross. We think about Jesus dying on the cross, and we think of how that is described, the spotless lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. You know, the things that we talked about even in communion this morning, as far as his body being broken and just the display of God's love and, you know, redemption and purchasing, you know, man, redeeming man, and all the glorious attributes and aspects of the cross. But it's amazing how Jesus qualifies that act of dying on the cross in a very wonderful, succinct word, and that is friend, friendship. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. So Jesus kind of describes the cross, in his own words, as an act of friendship, which is a pretty amazing thought. We sing about him and who he is and his majesty, and he is all the things we sing about. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the Wonderful Counselor, the Ancient of Days. And yet he desires also to have this certain quality of relationship called friend. And I think it's one of those things that we've really, especially in recent days, I think as a church, really gotten more a hold of and have become to appreciate, you know, more and more just the element of the friendship of God and the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want to just be perceived as a God afar off who cannot be fellowshipped with or communicated with or to have a personal, intimate exchange with. Jesus says, no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. And he goes on to say, no longer do I call you servant, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, for in all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. There's an exchange of dialogue, communication, the way, you know, you think of Jesus and the quality of fellowship he'd have with the Father. I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father do. You know, the disciples admired this relationship Jesus had with the Father because they knew his whole ministry came out of whatever him and the Father were doing. Jesus would say, it's the Father in me. He doeth the works. I didn't come to do my own will. There was something special about that relationship that he had with the Father. But then Jesus goes on to say, you know, he said, for no longer do I call you servants. A servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things I heard from my Father I've made known to you. So it's not just Jesus and the Father. Jesus is saying, all the things I've heard from the Father, I'm sharing it to you. It's not just me and Father. It's Father, me, and you. We're all in on this together. I'm communicating. The same way the Father's communicating to my heart, I'm communicating to your heart. There's a quality, though, of friendship that he attaches to that. And this morning, I really just want to take some time and really look at just as a whole friendships. Because as we talk about different principles of Scripture, a couple weeks ago we talked about the witness of the Spirit and how you're led by the Spirit of God and different things like that. You will invariably, and if you take an inventory of your life right now, you will see how God has used people, friendships, that you can kind of look back now and say, wow, that's not just a friendship, that's a divine appointment of God. And we see the language of friendship used throughout Scripture. And so as we look at what the Word says about friendships and what friendships look like, what friendships mean, I just pray that the Lord will just minister to your heart and just stir you up in just the beauty and the joy and the anticipation of friendships that He has for you. So the area, two areas basically of friendships we want to look at, the Scripture defines clearly. First is friendship with God. That's something we've already kind of touched on, is what Jesus, you know, made known to us that, hey, you know, I'm not calling you servants, I'm calling you friends. We're communicating on a friend level. As we see, you know, in Matthew chapter 6, as he talks about just kind of that quality of relationship, he tells us in Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. And I think this is really amazing Scripture. I remember the first time reading this, and it just kind of dawning on me just how much God really wanted to have, you know, a relationship with me. You know, we can kind of see the street corner prayer stuff, and we've all seen the street corner prayer stuff and things. It doesn't mean that there isn't a place for corporate prayer where we come together and pray corporately. That we can see that throughout the Scripture. There's absolutely a place for that. But what he's talking about is the heart of a person to just be seen of men. In other words, they don't really have a personal friendship relationship with God. The only times that they're praying is when the cameras are rolling, okay? I mean, how would you like to have a friendship with somebody who can't talk until the cameras are rolling and everybody can see? It's more exploitive, isn't it? It's really not personal. It's really not, you're kind of doing something to get a reward of people, of men. And so, you know, he's saying, look, I want a kind of prayer life with you that you aren't going to be scoring any prayer warrior points. It's going to be you and me in the secret place. And it's just going to be just me and you talking, me and you hanging out. Isn't it wonderful that God exhorts our relationship with him to be like that? That's beautiful. And he goes on to say, also, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think they'll be heard for their many words. Here's kind of another type of works-oriented prayer. You can have the first kind of prayer he talks about, kind of to be seen of men, the glory, but then there's the other one that's kind of a self, you know, like I'm doing something. I'm going to say something enough times. I'm going to pray this prayer enough times, and by the 50th time, God's going to be so blessed that I took 50 times to say it that he's going to do something. He's going to move because of the quantity of times. That's very natural human reasoning, isn't it? You know, it doesn't take faith to pray something 50 times or even 100 times. It takes faith to believe that he heard you the first time you pray. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask him anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. If we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. And so what we're doing, what God is saying here is he's just saying, don't be praying over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That vain repetition. And again, it doesn't mean that you're not going to ever pray about the same thing multiple times. Jesus, we talked about in Gethsemane. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He prayed that 3 times. Well, should he have only prayed it 1 time? There are going to be times that you will pray about things and you'll continue to get more wisdom and insight. But that's different than vain repetition. Vain repetition is da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you're kind of marking them off. And then finally, good, I did it. And there, you'll see that in papers and things. Pray this secret prayer X number of times and something's going to happen. And that's really not the kind of prayer that Jesus... Why doesn't he encourage that? He really does want to get to know us on a personal friendship level. But our flesh would rather be seen of men. Our flesh and our natural human nature tendency would rather say it, okay, dot my I's, cross my T's, and I did it. But there is something about making yourself vulnerable to where I'm just saying, okay, you know, here we go, Father. I'm in the secret place, and I'm talking, and we'll kind of get into it in a little bit, you know, how you begin in that secret place and how you begin talking. But I can say this. When telling him what's on your heart satisfies your need to tell someone, you're in the secret place. When telling him satisfies your heart with the need that you have to tell someone and you're satisfied, that's the secret place. You're there. You could talk, you could call a million people, but talk to a bunch of people, friends, da, da, da. But until you've prayed, you haven't prayed. There's a secret place. And there's nobody that can satisfy your spirit. And what happens is you get into that secret place. And here's the cool thing about it too. When you begin to operate like that, what he says in verse 6, he says, the Father who's in the secret place, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Isn't that amazing how David said, he anoints me with oil. I mean, he anoints me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head. That's kind of the way God will do things. And you can kind of take inventory of your own walk with the Lord. But when you've had the times, those secret place times, and it's you and him, and all of a sudden you're fellowshipping with him again, and you're in sync with God again. You're not perfect. You're still growing. But you know that you're walking in fellowship with God. Praise God. There's something about that. It comes across in your face. It comes across in your words. It comes across in your spirit. And it's amazing how when you're in that place, the things to say at the right place, at the right time, they just come up from your spirit. It's nothing you're staging or posturing or creating. It's something that's just flowing from the inside of you. God has a way of rewarding us openly when we'll just do it his way. Here's kind of an interesting description. Jesus kind of goes on to talk about some contrast. He tells a parable. Also, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. You know what? I chopped off my other. Did I get it? Oh, I'm sorry. And the tax collector stood up and he basically said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. That's all he said. It was about seven words. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that second man went home justified before God. You see, a lot of the show stuff and things and the comparison and all that stuff, again, that's just kind of another warning. It's God who wants a pure heart. And it's not like, you know, we think about intimacy with God and being close to God. It can be, at one point, it's exciting. Wow, God really wants to be close and intimate with me. On the other thing, it could be kind of a little nerve-wracking. Wow, how can I be really intimate and close with God? The other aspect, as we're approaching this friendship with God, and we're just talking about what guidelines that Jesus put out as far as how this thing's going to work. It's not going to be a public thing. It's not going to be exploitive. It's not going to be vain repetition. It's not going to be comparing yourselves amongst yourself. It's just going to be you and him. Is that exciting or is that scary? And Jesus is saying, it's exciting. It's good. He's a safe place. And you'll see the language when Jesus talks about it. He says, Father, Father, Father. When you're coming before your Heavenly Father in that secret place and you're trying to, you know, stir up what you think he wants to hear as you begin to pray, there are things that we've got to remember. We are praying to our Father. We're praying to somebody who loves us with a parental love. You know, I've got kids of all ages. And it is amazing how a parent will inherently, whether you realize it or not, just automatically identify with your children at whatever age they're at. When they're babies, you'll gaga and goo-goo. You'll just, you know, when they're little kids and they're excited and expressed about things, you'll get all excited and expressed about things. you know, that are really cool, or you just inherently do. Why? It's a parental empathy that's just in a parent that does that. Why? Because communication. I want to communicate with that baby. I want to communicate with that five-year-old. There's a parental empathy, you know. And a lot of times in prayer, we kind of get caught up in these almost unknown comparison type spirituality contests and things like that. But we got to remember as we're in that secret place who we're praying to. I'm already praying to the Father who knows all things that are naked and open before him. And so as I'm praying to him, I got to remember that I don't have to worry about getting everything just right. You know, I am where I am spiritually. And it doesn't do me any good to pretend to be up here if I'm just here. And what is here? It's just being honest with what you know and where you're at and what you see and expressing your heart. Just relax. Knowing that, I'm praying to my Father who is in a parental way, empathetically identifying with me. And he's going to communicate and connect and speak with me. And isn't that the way it is? Like we kind of say, when that child gets to be, you know, the age where they begin to say words, I mean, if even they'll just say a duh, you'll say, that's dad. Yes. Mark it down in the book. They said dad today. And it might have just been a real rough D. But his parents, man, that's, praise God, that's the day. Why is it there's such an excitement to want to communicate with your child? And that's who we're praying to. Somebody who has that parental, empathetic desire to communicate with us. So I don't have to be on eggs trying to dot every I and cross every T and just say everything. We don't get any points for poetry. There's nothing, you know, just, again, you can score, the way we score points with each other is not the way you score points with God. God just loves that faith, isn't it? Didn't it all start out that way? He said, you know, unless you first be converted and become as a little child, you can't even enter into the kingdom of heaven. So there's a childlike faith. It's an honesty. It's an innocence. And no matter how old you are in the Lord, you never lose that part of your first love. That's the part of your first love, that innocence and that reality of who am I dealing with here? Okay, I don't have to try to pretend. He already knows me completely and thoroughly. And what he tells me, he says, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, find grace to help. Go to the secret place. Pray to your Father. You know what that is? That is faith. It takes faith to pray. Takes faith to just reach out and say, okay, God, here we go. Your mind, your emotions can be way over there, but in your spirit, you just begin to pray. I'm not probing for a feeling that God loves me today. I know that he loves me. And not only do I know that he loves me, he's my Father. And that as I'm saying those words, he's going to be like I am with my own children. He's going to be blessed that my child wants to talk to me. Isn't that a blessing, too? You know, when you'll have that, your child will come up and they just want to talk to you. It's like, wow, praise God. That's really cool. I mean, I thought you don't talk, but you know, they just really want to, you know, just think about that. When you're just taking purpose and you don't think about that to do it, it's just, you're taking time on purpose to do that. And as far as, you know, doing that and just fellowshipping with God, there's a few things that we just got to remember. A couple other scriptures I like kind of along these lines. Revelation 3:20, this is written to the churches. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I'll come into him, dine with him, and he with me, amplified. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and listens to and heeds my voice, opens the door, I will come into him and will eat with him, and he will eat with me. That's talking about breaking bread. It's talking about fellowship. And that is kind of the way it is, isn't it? I've had times where I thought, oh, I just can't have, I'm just too busy, or, you know, and I'll just say, okay, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to take some time. And all of a sudden, you just by faith begin to enter into that door. And pretty soon, there's an exchange. And pretty soon, you're just expressing your heart. And, you know, as you begin to do that, I've had it too where I've just kind of went into that place of prayer. I've only had a few minutes. And I've just done it, and I thought, okay, well, okay, Lord, I've just done what I've known to do. And then later on that day, I'll begin to get things and hear things. But I'll tell you what, the bottom line is, I'm not going into the secret place necessarily for an experience. I'm going into the secret place to talk to him and to let him know what's in my heart. There's something about doing what you know to do that just sets you free and releases you. And just saying, okay, Father, you've said just to acknowledge you, I'm just going to acknowledge you with these situations. Lord, I need wisdom here. And I just want to tell you, Lord, I love you. I thank you. You know, sometimes you get in those places where it's just you're in the secret place, and all of a sudden you just get, you know, you don't even have to go on a retreat thousands of miles away to really experience them. You can just, right there in your very own corner of your couch in your room, by the Spirit of God, it's like he can just take you to those green pastures and still waters in a moment of time when you just give him a little time. That's really the faith of it too. We're all busy. We all have stuff that's going on. But when we really realize, man, God wants to talk to us. And it's not a duty of prayer. It's an opportunity to get to know him. I don't have a prayer life so that I'll go to heaven when I die. I'm already going to heaven. My prayer life is to get to know him. And my prayer life is to communicate what's in my heart to him. Jesus said, I know the Father. The Father in me, he doeth the works. He had that relationship with the Father. And he did everything he did so we could have that same relationship with the Father. And you say, well, kind of, how do I get started? It's really, he's a relationship. He's a person just like anybody. How do you start when you really want to get close to a person in the natural? You begin to tell them about yourself, tell them about your life. You can keep people at a distance, or you can bring people in close to you as far as what you're willing to share from your heart. It's the same way with God. As you begin to get in that secret place, you begin to share things that are going on, how you feel, what you think, questions that you have, all these different things that are in you, and you get them out to him. Here's what the scripture says too, kind of in conjunction with this. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Amplified, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. And, you know, if I was to stand up here and tell you, God cares about you today, that probably would not be an earth-shaking revelation to you. It's when you stop and think about that he cares about you, that all of a sudden you really begin to get the sight of it. It really begins to open your eyes and draw you near. So what do I mean by that? He knows and he cares about every relationship of your life, your marriage, your relationship with your children, your financial situation. He knows every penny. He knows where it's at. He knows all your history. He knows there's nothing. You know, with people, there are things that people know about us, and there's things that people don't know about us, and there's things that we don't want people to know about us, and there's people that we share, and so we're kind of, you know, in a human relationship area, you kind of got this going on. But in him, he already knows everything. But when you get in that secret place and you go, and you just remind yourself, Lord, almost kind of like we do at communion, we remind ourselves. He came and he died on the cross for our sins. Sometimes we got to remind ourselves in the secret place. He already knows everything. He already sees me. You know, all things are naked and open. I'm like that little fish you hold up to the light and you can see its heartbeat. That's me when I'm there. He already sees that. And that is so disarming. And I can say, okay, Lord, I'm going to cast all my cares, my anxieties, and my worries over it, because you really care for me. He really cares for me. And you know, you can read a scripture like that and say, wow, he really cares for me. You find out that he cares for you when you get in the secret place. Here you can learn the theology of it on a Sunday morning. But in the secret place, you experience it firsthand. It's great for a preacher to stand up and say, God loves you. But there is nothing like being in that secret place and hearing his Spirit say, I love you. There's nothing like him telling you he loves you. And you get that in the secret place. It's like, wow, God, you're telling, yeah, wow, praise God. That's scriptural, isn't it? Yeah, it's scriptural. He loves me. He's for me. But he'll tell you those things. You know, even as married people, as in friends, we'll affirm our love for each other. It's not like you tell them once and I'll tell you, you know, 10 years from now. No, there's a daily, a regular affirmation of love and appreciation that goes on. God's Spirit will continually love and affirm his love for you in that secret place. And that stuff a pastor can't do on a Sunday morning, but we can say, this is the kind of quality relationship that Jesus wants, God wants to have with us. That relationship that doesn't have the pretense, that relationship that's going to, you know, begin to trust him with the deep things of our heart. And, you know, I'll just say this too. I've been walking with God for over 30 years, but at the same time, it's amazing how emotions and appetites, when you're walking around with this body and the likeness of sinful flesh, you got feelings and things, and all of a sudden, spiritual things aren't very real sometimes when you're listening to the flesh, right? And you can think, I know that God loves me theologically, but I sure don't feel like he loves me. I know he's close to me, but I don't feel like he's in me. I don't feel like he's close to me. And that's where faith begins. That's where you go, I don't care what I feel. I'm not led by what I feel. I'm led by what I believe. I believe here or there. Lord, here we go. And I, you know, it is exciting because the Holy Spirit lives in you, and you can be in the middle of your day, and all of a sudden you can just sense, you know what? I got to get away. I got to just get away and have a little time in prayer. It doesn't have to be hours. It can just be 5-10 minutes where you can just say, okay, Lord, here we go. Here I am. I love you. And I just want to, you know, in here where it says, all your worries, your anxieties, your concerns, even when you're dealing with things of the flesh, that's where it says in the temptations, at the point of your temptation, you know, you can go through the list of temptation, all those things, he's right there with mercy and compassion and empathy. So we're talking about friendship. There's a friendship with God. God wants us to keep it real. And, you know, and I'm kind of say this too. Sometimes you've got to turn off your teaching tapes. Sometimes your tapes. Boy, it dates me, huh? Sometimes you got to turn off the TV or the DVDs or whatever it is. You can get so teaching minister oriented too, and you've got to just have your time with God. You understand? Thank God for ministers. Thank God for preachers, but they can't take the place of Jesus in your life. We can feed you, but only he can be your Lord. And he is going to lead and guide you by his Spirit into all truth. That's the difference between following a man. You can even follow a ministry in a way that you're following a man. That could be a good ministry, but you're following the person instead of really seeing Jesus. And so why it's important, sometimes there are times when you got to turn that stuff off. And you got to say, okay, I'm not even, there's times you got to turn the radio off. And you just got to talk to God from your heart about some things. You know, sometimes it's hard to confront things. But I'll tell you what, in the throne of grace, there's mercy and grace. We don't have to be afraid to confront things with God. And have you had that before where you've taken some time and you thought, well, I'm just going to go to sleep. Well, I just feel like I need to pray. And then you just said, okay, I'll pray. And you think, wow, I'm so glad I prayed. So glad I didn't go to sleep on top of that again. Yeah. It's amazing how life-changing can be. Those little secret place times with God. But it's a friendship with God. You know, and I like something. This was a little, kind of a little one-liner the Lord gave Whitney. He told her, it doesn't take a strong person to have a devotion time. It takes the devotion time. It doesn't take a strong person to have a devotion life. It takes the devotion life to make a strong person. And that's really the flow of it. You know, it's like, oh, sure. Well, you just by faith, in that devotion time is where you find the strength to help, where he rewards you and strengthens you. I'm not having to do it because I'm so strong. I'm just going there to get strong and to get strengthened and to get more insight. So he loves you, and the quality of even prayer just shows that he wants it to be real. He doesn't want it to be a pretentious, showy, phony thing where you're scoring points, but that you are really getting to know him. And that's really the bottom line. Not pretending to be somewhere where I'm not. Here I am, Lord. And when we hook up with him where we are, then he can bring us higher. But if we pretend to be somewhere we're not, then we're really not connecting. So the main thing is to really be honest. And I love what it says, humble yourselves. It is a humbling thing to come before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, here we go. I'm trusting you with this. And then finally, not only friendship with God, but there's a friendship with man. And I love the continuity of friendship because that's the heart of God. He wants there to be a camaraderie, a loyalty, a safe place. That's what that friendship kind of brings out, somewhere that you can go. We looked at part of the scripture before in John chapter 15. Verse 12 through 13, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now, as we're talking about friendship with man, there's a couple kinds of friendships I want to talk about. First of all, there's the ultimate friendships of man. And a lot of those friendships are people you don't even see right now. All right? You know, I get a picture when I think of this verse, greater love has no one than this, and he lays down his life for his friends. I get a picture of the cross. And I also get a picture of this in my heart and mind. This is a snapshot of Golden Gate National Cemetery in California. but one of obviously many different national cemeteries. And when you see a picture like this, thousands of men and women who laid down their lives for our freedom today. We've got Veterans Day coming up Wednesday, November 11th. And it's a good reminder to us that, wow, I am enjoying freedom today. I'm enjoying some freedom of worship today on a Sunday morning that have come through some horrible dictators through the years because friends who've laid down their lives for my freedom. It's a really humbling, awesome thought. And of those of you who are veterans today, would you stand? Would you stand if you're a veteran here, if you've served at all? We would like to acknowledge. We don't get it. Great. Thank you very much. Wonderful. Thank you for your service. Appreciate it. That is the friendship, you know, laying down your life, putting your life out there, and we do thank you and we honor your friendship and your sacrifice in for this country, and we see people. You know, the thing, though, when you look out at a field like that, the thing that you don't see is, you know, above all those thousands of people that gave their life, a lot of people died in a lot of different ways. These were not all people who just took enemy fire. When you do look at it, if you really study it out, there's a great percentage of people who died here that represent, unfortunately, there's friendly fire in the chaos of war, in troop movements, where unfortunately, you know, the bullets fly and they go in the wrong direction. And what they call friendly fire is when somebody actually takes a bullet from their own side. Other people got sick. There were mechanical failure. You look at the planes and the tanks, the artillery, it's stunning of just natural things that happened in different occasions of death out on the field, a lot of accidental things. But you know, when you look at this, do you even stop to consider the occasion? No, 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 no. You see what's in the heart of the people. You see one thing, people who are doing what they were called and told to do. There's also similar cemeteries here when you think of the martyrs. You think of a William Tyndale who was burned at the stake so we can have this English Bible in our hand today. People who laid down their lives, they were sacrificed from Stephen and other martyrs of the church. And you know, as I think about this and I'm stirred up about Veterans Day and friendship and no greater love, those same acts of heroics happen today. People in the final moments of their life doing whatever they could do to save the life of their friends. According to the Word of God, that's the greatest act of love a person can do. You can't do anything greater with your life in terms of an act of love than to lay it down for the sake of your friends. And so you see something like this in my heart where I'm stirred up. It's like, you know, and I appreciate the generations of people who've gone on before me, believers who've gone on before me. And I, the more I see it, the more I'm less caught up in the occasion of death or whatever. It's I want to be, you know, when it's my time to depart, that I am going to be doing what God has called me to do. I want to give my life in the line of service for the cause and the sake of the gospel. That's what I want to be. That's the way I want to be giving my life, laying down my life for the cause, living for God. There's a beautiful scripture that puts it this way. Romans 14 says, "For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living." So as we're talking about friendship with man, we need to remember that there is a very special friendship of man that involves people who've gone before us. Who've gone before us in a natural military sense that we enjoy in this country today, and the blood of the martyrs and the saints and those who've laid down their lives for the sake of the gospel. And it's a reminder to us of all that we have a role of friendship, that we're laying down our lives. It doesn't, you know, mean that I have to, you know, be killed as far as in a military fashion or something like that, but I'm laying down my life, You know, whatever I'm doing, you know, I'm doing it as unto the Lord. And when I see that, I see, wow, what a beautiful picture of friendship. And that's what my life is going to be too. It's going to be a friendship to the next generation. That's an ultimate friendship that we see in Scripture. There is another friendship too that is so beautiful in Scripture. And here it is in the Message Bible in Philippians chapter 2. This is the Message paraphrase. This is, you know, paraphrase can be hit miss, you know. But I think this one just really knocks it out of the park. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. And it's amazing how many of these admonishments you see throughout the New Testament as far as brotherly love and getting along, being like-minded, having the same spirit. You see even in the book of Philippians, Paul, you know, I beseech Euodia and Syntyche, you know, they'll work together. You know, there was such a desire for harmony in the flow of the Spirit of God. And why is that? There are friendships that God has for you in the body of Christ that are part of the Holy Spirit's leading. You are not going to get everything you need in the secret place in that location. You are going to get a great fellowship and a great relationship with God, but there are things that God is going to connect you to destinies of your life through people, through friendships. You get to know God in that secret place, and certainly the witness of his Spirit will let you know that that's the friend that's a place, but there are supernatural, divine connections that God gives. A few things that I just think of, you know, in my life, you know, shortly after I started dating Julie, her mom and dad knew some friends that they had, sometimes it's friends of friends, in Plum City, Wisconsin, and we were over there one day, one afternoon, and lo and behold, they needed some computer work done. And wow, I got to know the guy, I began to work for him, and in my working for him, I came across some faith-oriented teaching and ministry about spirit, soul, and body. And he let me listen to it, and as I began to listen to it, I really began to get free in some areas in my Christian walk with the Lord. And then, lo and behold, as I was going to that church, you know, I was going to Bethel Church in Eau Claire, there was some friends in the church who said, hey, Ed, did you know that there's, you know, gave me a magazine, so-and-so has a Bible school that you could attend. And wow, really? Okay, cool. But I think about people that connected me to divine destinies that God had for me, sweet, precious people in the church that connected me there. And, you know, so then I ended up going to Rhema, and I'm at Rhema, and I'm in the parking lot, and of course I've got, well, I shouldn't say of course, but I had the hood up in my car, I'm underneath the hood, I'm looking at something. I couldn't even tell you what it was. I don't know if it was the rubber band story, or if there was a battery or something. There was a lot going on back in that era, but I had the hood up, and I'm, you know, there, and all of a sudden a guy passes by, and hey, can I help you? And he introduced himself to me, Steve. And he's a guy who did some work with cars or auto parts or something like that. And he said, I might be able to help you. And so we kind of talked about it. And then we kind of went to a parts place and got something. And he helped me out. And so I met a friend just who noticed me under the hood of my car. And as it turns out, they left, you know, to go back to Minnesota to help a pastor with their work there. And then a year later, we ended up going to Minnesota so I could finish out my degree at North Central Bible College. And lo and behold, you know, we kind of went around to find some churches, and we knew they were up there, and so we checked out the church, and that was really the church where God wanted us and led us to go to. And how ironic was that? This guy who just saw me under the hood of my car at Rhema, you know, a place where just hundreds of people, and yeah, that relationship just happened. And then he ended up taking me out on the streets and showed me about street witnessing and reaching out. And man, I've got some amazing things God did through my life because a guy just happened to come up to me while I was working on my car. You know, and then I get networked at the church he was at, and you know, the associate pastors there were called the Pioneer of Work, and we had developed a friendship with them, Paul and Dana, and Carlson. They were actually here earlier this year in May. And And so I got to know them, and then pretty soon that was like a big deal, and so God used them. But I look, and then ultimately while I was there for about a year and a half or so, then God called us to Door of Life Christian Church. And I still remember, you know, just people and connections and just talking. And in our first snowy night that we arrived here in that January of 2002, and seeing Lee and Judy, and what was it? It was right across from the Pig, that restaurant you took us to. Northern Grill. You should remember that. Northern Grill. We're standing there in the parking lot, and it's kind of cold and snowy, and I see, you know, Lee looking in my direction and saying, "Hey, Pastor." I say, "Pastor." And my first thought was, wow, you know, did Pastor Paul, how was Pastor Paul doing here? You know, Lee's saying that. Pastor. And I thought, oh, Pat, he's talking to me. That's right. Okay. I thought, well, oh, yeah, hi, yeah. Well, but it was like, wow. But, you know, and it's amazing how people and friends that he'll put in your life. And from that day, we've met wonderful friends through our 14 years here that have helped connect us and help us go. But it's an amazing thing. Friendships are precious. They're valuable. I love, this is a little poem. I don't know who wrote it. So if you know, great. But I didn't see it in my resource. It's called Old Friends. Old friends are the best. I do agree. But to this fact I'll hold, that everything must first be new before it can be old. That old friend whom you love so much, who's staunch and true and bold, was brand new on the day you met, though now you call him old. So make new friends each passing day. The years quickly unfold. And new friends whom you make today will soon be classed as old. Then you will have a store of wealth that far surpasses gold. For all the friends who now are new, you'll soon be calling old. It's a great reminder for us to realize that praise God for the treasures of friendships we have, but praise God for the treasures of friendships that God still has for us and that are out there. And it's an amazing thing, you know, how things that you do or how you're led to do things for certain people someday, God will bring back. It's like a tapestry that works and interweaves with all the spiritual principles that we talk about, victorious living and learning to be led by the Spirit. All within that, you'll see our people. They're our friends, you know. And I had mentioned, I didn't really go through it before, but, you know, Julie's uncle, who, you know, I kind of went through this about being led by the waiting on the witness, you know, how he had really said to me, "Ed, maybe now is the time to start." You know, I was wondering when I was going to start pioneering a church. He said, "Maybe now is the time." That was a person. That friend that he put in my way to confirm different things in my life. Direction, destiny, you know, are in precious friendships. So be encouraged this morning. Friendships, they're precious. They're God-ordained. It's the quality of relationship that God wants to have with us, a friendship, that secret place quality of relationship where it's just you and him and you are airing out all the concerns and the cares of your heart. And there's something special that happens here. On a Sunday morning, you can kind of teach the principles and say, "Wow, that's cool, God." But there is just nothing, what you cannot emulate up here is when it's just you and him and what goes on there. And if you've had any kind of walk with him, there are times where you've been like, you don't even want to come out. It's so good. And there are other times when it's dry. It's like, did God even hear me? Well, just faithfully doing it. Yes, he did hear you. Yes, he is there. And it's just a matter of really saying, "Okay, Father, here we go. There's nothing, no hoops I got to jump through to begin talking to you. The hoops were already jumped through. The blood was already shed. I have boldness to come boldly before the throne of grace because he's made already that new and living way. I don't have to make the way. He's already made it. I just got to come and start talking. That's all there is to it. And the Holy Spirit who's in you will begin to lead and guide you within that relationship. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, this morning for friendships. We thank you, Lord, for our friendship with you, that you don't call us servants, but that you call us friends. You just see us as precious friends. And in all your majesty and all your glory and all your power and who you are, we don't lose sight of it for a moment. But we don't also lose sight of the fact that you want us to just hang out. That there is a parental empathy that you have. You know exactly where we're at. You love us. And your heart is to draw out of us what's in us, the same way we want to draw out of our own children what's in them to communicate. That's your heart toward us. Help us to remember that, Father. No pretense with you. You just want us to get to know you. You want us to hear that you love us for ourselves by your Spirit. Father, I just pray for each one. Touch each walk with you here this morning. Touch every secret place here this morning. Father, that we will just come to know you more and more. Lord, we remember and we honor the sacrifice in the natural, our military, spiritual, brothers and sisters in the Lord who've gone before us and made that ultimate sacrifice of friendship. They laid down their lives for their friends. They laid down their lives to serve you. They laid down their lives for the sake of the gospel. We thank you. We honor that friendship this morning. Very precious people in my life that I think about, that I remember, that I honor. Thank you, Father God. We're so blessed. Lord, we just thank you for the precious people you put in our path. We thank you for our old friends, and we thank you for our new friends who are going to become our old friends. Thank you, Lord, for the precious body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. We just pray now for each one to be refreshed, strengthened, and encouraged, Father, in their friendships. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Praise God.